Amen.
Woo!
Come on. If I didn't already have my winter weight on, I'd do a cartwheel right now. Just being hot, keeping it real this morning. Hey, we have been, over the last 5 weeks now, this is week six, talking about the vision of Living Christ Church, right? Our vision statement, our core values, they're in your bulletin. We put them in there every week just so you know who we are, who we desire to be. And this morning, we're going to take all that and kind of look towards the future. This is what that looks like when Living Christ does that well. And we really believe that all that comes out of a core motivation of love. So anything we do and say at Living Christ Church, if the core motivation is not out of love, it will fail. That's the understanding that we've come to, right? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the truth of love that's in Scripture that comes from the Father that we receive, that we reflect back out to the world. And so just to recap, if you missed any of the weeks, we started off talking about our vision statement, which is connecting people deeply to God and each other in a fun and safe environment. So we're desiring to connect with God and each other in an atmosphere that is fun and safe, right? And then we talked about, Pastor Jaime preached on serving sacrificially, becoming welcoming one another and becoming reconcilers. This is one of our core values that we need to be striving for, right? So that we're welcoming to all, that we're serving sacrificially, that it's not about us, it's about you. It's not about you, it's about us, right? And taking that into the direction of making sure there's reconciliation taking place. And then I preached on Romans chapter 12. We talked about healing that takes place through the Spirit. We talked about the freedom that comes from that. And then that too leads us to a place of reconciliation. And then we talked about discipleship and that we need to be disciples and to be disciple makers. We need to reproduce what has been given to us. We need to take what Christ has given to us and share it with those around us. Otherwise, it's selfish. Right? And last week, Pastor Jaime preached on the fact of empowerment, that our desire at Living Christ Church is to empower others to go and get this done. Amen? Amen? Amen. So all of that means absolutely nothing outside of the confines of love. It means nothing outside of the confines of love. A couple weeks ago, most of America was entrenched in this concept of Back to the Future Day. And for those of you that did not grow up through the 80s or know about the 80s was a strange time in America. Just was. And we had this movie called Back to the Future. I watched this thing probably 35 times growing up. I wanted to be Marty McFly. I wanted to drive a DeLorean. Every time I see one, there's this nostalgic moment that comes up inside of me that says, oh, that's so, the suicide door, like, and it goes back in time. If we could go back in time, what would you do? Would you right all your wrongs? Would you fix all that stuff? Would you win the girl? And so we have this story of Marty McFly going back in time through, he meets this crazy guy known as Doc Emmett Brown, who is either borderline genius or borderline nuts, we're really not sure. Until all of a sudden he shows up with this DeLorean that goes back in time. And poor Marty gets stuck in this thing and goes back in time. And he comes face to face with his teenage version of his parents. And he screws up their relationship. And over the course of the next duration of the movie, he's got to figure out how to fix the relationship with his parents, get back to the future, and avoid this guy, Biff. I don't know a person on planet Earth that doesn't have a Biff in their life. I'm so glad his name was Biff. So make like a tree and get out of here. When he finally, go and watch the movie. When he finally makes it back, he realizes that not only did he make it back, and not only did he make the love relationship with his parents work, but it had this reciprocal effect that made his life better. And so this concept, what would it look like? What would it look like if we could go into the future and see what our lives would look like, go into the past and fix those mistakes so that our future was better? And then, of course, because the movie does well, you got to have a part two. You always have to have a part two. And the famous line at the end of one is, wait a second, Doc, we don't have enough roads. And Doc says, where we're going, we don't need roads. And the tires flip up. And he goes to the future. And once he gets there, I mean, there's these list of things. And it was really fun to watch America get consumed with this thing and try to figure out which one of these things from this movie that happened 30 years ago came to be. And some of them were crazy cool. People fought like crazy to try to get this hovercraft thing going. And we have like some quasi versions, but not really like the movie. And probably my favorite one of all time was in the year 2015, the Cubs won the World Series. Wah, wah, wah. Sorry, Cubs fans. The movie was not prophetic. It came up short. It came up wanting. We will have to wait 108 years. Or 208. I'm sorry. I'll give you all hugs afterwards if you're a Cubs fan. But this got us thinking at Living Christ Church, like if we could take a time machine to the future, what would we like that to look like at Living Christ Church? What would it look like if we got this right, if we got this vision thing right, connecting people deeply to God and each other in a fun and safe environment, and those core values came to be, what would that look like a year from now, or 3 years from now, or 5 years from now? So let's just look at a year. This is what I think, like if we get this right, this is what I think we will look like a year from now. But let's start off by reading the Word of God. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture in three chunks. We are going to read those three chunks. Because one of the things that you'll hear me say is, in order for us to get there, we have to be consumers of the Word of God. We just have to. This is a cool, awesome, crazy, amazing book that talks about a cool, awesome, crazy, amazing God. In order to get there, we have to be consumers of this Word. And this is what it said. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So let's just stop there for a second. In order for our church to connect deeply to God and each other in a fun and safe environment, one of our core motivations has to be out of love. And this is what it looks like. If I'm able to articulate masterfully in my speaking, but love is not one of my core motivations, my words are annoying at best, but most likely hollow, like the teacher from Peanuts. I can be the greatest speaker in the world. We can stupefy and amaze you from the pulpit, but if it doesn't come from the core of love. Then it's literally annoying to your soul and hollow to your development. Well done, good and faithful speaker. But if it has nothing to do with the core motivation of love, it's nothing, it's meaningless. I can be prophetic, a foreteller of truth, understanding God's word and having faith to pray for miracles, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Literally, my existence is meaningless. Ouch. You can be the most gifted person in the world. Sometimes I hear people say, I just want to pray like that person. I just want to know Jesus like that person. And if it's about that, if it's about what the outside looks like, then the core is going to be rotten. And the core needs to be whole and healed and freed and delivered to run out and show and go and tell and love. Otherwise, it literally is meaningless. I can be great at giving away my money and my things, but if my core motivation is not out of love, I gain nothing. I think sometimes we have this concept that if I give, I will receive back. Instead of giving without the concept of receiving back. I listened to a bunch of different radio stations this week, and one of them, they were talking about being thankful for the things that you're being thankful for. And there's times, it's not so much necessarily in New York, but you'll be out somewhere and somebody will hold the door for you. I don't know if this has ever happened to you before. Somebody will hold the door for you, And oftentimes we're in such a hurry that we plow right through that door and we don't thank the person holding the door. And I heard this guy on the radio say, I like holding the door, and what I realize what I'm waiting for is the thank you. I'm waiting for somebody to say thank you to me. And if they don't say thankful, if they don't say thank you, I say, you're welcome. And they realize that their core motivation was not to be helpful, it was to receive affirmation. Man. So a couple weeks ago, we were at district conference where all the pastors that are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance in the Northeast, of which this church is a part of, we were all gathered together. And when I'm with a large group of Christians, I, for whatever reason, I think this is very biblical, I'm able to hear from God better. When I get around other people that believe in Jesus Christ, there's something that happens internally in me, and I'm able to hear from God better. Receive that. And so we're in this worship experience. We're praising and worshiping God. We're closing out the service for the week. It's been an amazing time. We've been blessed by God. We've seen God do crazy things. We've seen him heal and all kinds of stuff. And I looked up at the people leading the worship. I looked up at the worship team, and there was this woman who was leading, and everything about her was worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She got lost. She didn't care about anybody that was watching anymore at all, and she was just worshiping Jesus. And I looked over to the left of her, and there was her mother that I met the day before. And her mom was just sitting there, just watching her daughter with eyes of love. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me this picture of her mom, the worship leader, singing over her, the worship leader, when she was a child. Wow, that was a really cool picture. Thank you, Jesus. And I was just going to hold on to that. Tuck into my belt, go, wow, that's really good. You know why? Because I don't want to be a freak. I don't want to be a weirdo. And next thing I know, I'm walking up to this lady that I don't know. First, I went up to the worship leader and I said, hey, listen, when you were leading worship, I knew, like, I look around when we're singing to Jesus and I look for somebody who's singing to Jesus and everything else is just faded away, and if I can't get excited about Jesus, then there's something wrong with me. And I looked at you, and I saw that you were worshiping the Lord, and I just got caught up into this place, and I saw this picture of your mom singing over you as a kid. Do you know if she used to do that? And she said, you have to go tell my mom the story. I'm like, phew. So I walk over to this lady. I'm like, hi, I'm Jeff. I'm the local freak today. And I said, can I ask you a question? Did you ever sing over your daughter when she was little? Did you ever sing over her, like that God would use her in certain ways, but you did it singing over her? And she took a step back, and her eyes got really huge, and I said, well, I'll take that as a yes. And I said, I saw this picture of you singing over your daughter, and I just feel like the prayers of your worship have come to fruition, and now she is leading others to do what Jesus has done in you. And she started to sob. She's crying. And I'm standing there, and I'm kind of looking around like, darn it. So I don't know this lady. I just hugged her, and she grabbed onto me and was like squeezing my shirt, and she was like pulling onto me. I was like, ha. She needed affirmation that the prayers and the worship that she had prayed in the past had come to fruition in the future. And church, the prayers that you pray today can be accomplished in the future. But if we don't encourage those dreams and those prayers, then something gets lost. And so out of that, I hear this, I is to nothing as we are to love. If it's about me, it's nothing. But if it's about us, it truly is the embodiment of love. Let's keep going. This word is so good, so good. So to sum all this up, if we step into whom Christ is calling Living Christ Church to, this time next year, there will be hundreds of stories just like that, because we've come to a place where we as a church hear from God. our prayers, our dreams, our goals become reality because as a church, we are listening to what Christ wants to do in and through us, and they will be accomplished in the future if we do this right. Verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It isn't easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Take a breath. I look at this list, right? And we have two things love isn't, and then eight things love is not. And then five things love is, and then one thing it's not. And so if you add that all up, there's seven things listed here of what love is and nine things listed here of what love is not. And this is what I read from that. I think we read this and somehow it goes into our psyche, and so the world knows what Christ is, or the church is against and not what it's for. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, our misunderstanding of love and not living this thing out lets the world know what we're against, not what we're for. I know it's hard. Even listening to the kids try to quantify what love is. Most of us adults can't quantify what love is. We know it when we see it, and we know it when we don't see it. But when it comes from the Father and comes out through us in the form of love, then something happens here and something happens there. And so our core motivation has to be out of patience and kindness and rejoicing in the truth and protecting and hoping and loving and persevering. It can't be out of envy, out of boast, out of proudness, out of rudeness, out of self-seeking, out of being easily angered or keeping records of wrongs or delighting in evil. So in order for Living Christ Church to accomplish its vision, we have to be known for what we're for and not what we're against. I had to chuckle this week. At the end of the week, Starbucks came out with their new cups for Christmas time. And I sat in stupefied amazement of how Christians were so upset that all of a sudden Christmas wasn't on a Starbucks cup anymore. Good Lord, help us. You can take Christ out of Christmas all you want. Doesn't mean he went anywhere. Come on. It doesn't mean he went anywhere. And if we get our panties in a bunch because they remove his name, we've got bigger issues in Christendom. We just do. Come on. We can do better. We can do better than this. The world needs us to do better than this. The world needs to see Christ. If all the church does is complain, may it never be, or in the words of Paul, God forbid. There is no way, shape, and form that we're going to reach the world if all we do as Christendom is complain about the things of the world and about each other. Because how in the world will they know we're Christians by our love if we're not living it? Come on. Sorry, little rant. So this is my tweet-worthy tweet for you this morning. Tweet this out. Tweet it. The killer of Christianity is selfishness. The killer of Christianity is selfishness. And when the church becomes selfish, we get destroyed and so does the world. In order to accomplish the vision of Living Christ Church, the greater Nyack area has to know that they are loved by Living Christ Church. So that a year from now, if we get this right, the stories of Living Christ Church will be good. When somebody in town mentions Living Christ Church, the response will be, oh, those people love. Those people know what love is. And there are several steps that we need to take to get there. We're doing good things. But in order to get it done, we have to be more intentional about the community of the greater Nyack area than about ourselves. 3.5 years ago, this church was about 75, 80 people. And it's grown, and that's awesome. And we can have all the great services in the world. My goal this morning is to motivate you beyond motivation. You go out this church this morning all excited about changing the world. But it means absolutely nothing if it stops here. It means absolutely nothing if it stops here. Let's keep going. End of verse 8. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we will prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And what I get from this passage of Scripture is that in order for Living Christ Church to accomplish our vision, we have to grow. And I'm not talking numbers. I'm talking soul. We have part and perfection. We can have nuggets of faith now, but next year, this time next year, we have to have mounds of faith. We can have an aspect of understanding Christ in us today, but this time next year, he has to have us. We can reflect Christ to the world now, but this time next year, the world should know him better because of our growth in our relationship with Christ. I can know some stuff about him now, but this coming year, I need to know more because he knows me. We know in part. In the future, we will know fully. But all that comes out of this understanding that he knows us. And when we push that aside, the growth doesn't happen. So we have to move, this is what I think, because we have to move from Sunday morning being the only time that we eat spiritual food. If the only things of God that you hear about are from Pastor Jeff, it's not good. So we have to move to consuming the words of God so that the word of God can be known through us. Let me say that again. We have to consume the words of God so that the word of God can be known through us. One more time. We have to consume the words of God so that the word of God can be seen through us. And we have to do this out of love, not out of obligation. If it's all out of obligation, if it's all out of checking the list off, making sure we got our Sunday list done so it looks good on our checklist for God, then man, we're in a bad place. We don't expect any single person to walk in those doors and leave the same way they came. In order for Living Christ Church to accomplish its mission, this time next year, as people walk out those doors, they are a completely different person in their relationship with Christ than they are today. The leadership will do everything in our human ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to empower you to be a welcoming person, to empower you to learn how to serve sacrificially, to empower you to be a reconciler, to empower you in your growth relationship with Jesus Christ, to empower you to understand the love of the Father and that love radiate through you. We will do everything in our power to do that. But in order for Living Christ Church to accomplish its mission, this time next year, you have to look different than you do today in a better way. The worship team's going to come back up, and we're going to close out. And I said this morning is all about motivation. You've heard these vision steps. You've heard these truths that we've tried to share with you. This morning we've talked about what that will look like next year. And we could not leave this Sunday morning without motivating you one step further. And so I asked Maddie to share with us this morning a spoken word to empower you with the strength from on high to accomplish this mission. Let me pray before she gets started. Lord Jesus, may it not be of self. May it be of love. May you rock every single person here this morning with the love of the Father. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
L-O-V-E. The strongest force in all the galaxies has been weighed down by the gravity of fear, selfishness, and just downright human depravity. Love has become a simple word filled with vanity, interested in only loving those who give us what we want happily. Love is not fitting into skinny jeans or counting all your calories. Love is not exuding physical beauty for the eye to see. Love is not using social media so that you can make your life seem perfect to me. It goes beyond all of our culture's idolatry. For the God who laced the earth in all astronomy has love written into his biology. And it's time for this love to awaken. To take the planets that are our emotions and shake them. To loop around the poor council that is our bad attitudes and reshape them. For the force is with you. And I'm not talking Star Wars, but rather that the character of Christ and all his loving qualities are yours. Living Christ is time to live like the one who has given life to you. To acknowledge his death and resurrection in everything that you do. From caring for the needy to allowing the truth of who you are be tattooed on your heart like graffiti. For love keeps the object of its affection accountable. Love gives in excess is always bountiful. Love forgives even the most shameful offense. Love hedges one in like a white picket fence, protects his beautiful dream house. Love is what Jesus exudes for the church, his beautiful spouse. Love is the foundation. Love is the reason for your salvation. And love is the motivation for all of creation. For when God spoke the sun into its orbit, he created its rays, knowing that your flesh would love to absorb it. And when God designed the flower through a whisper from his lips, he knew that some of you would be enamored with this. Love is the brush with which he painted the sky blue. Love is the joy that led Jesus to say, I do, to a cross stained with blood so that he could have you. Love is the fragrance of a costly perfume that fills the airwaves of every room it enters in. For love must be rooted and centered in all. Love wants everything. It's more than a wedding ring. It's a direct reflection of who God is. And what manner of love is this that he would lay down his life for his friends? It is the kind of love that knows the beginning but has no end. It is sacrificial, always seeking that which is beneficial. For love rescues us from our nightmares. Love never uses our faults against us and knows how to fight fair. And when there's nothing good, it looks beyond what is right there and it invites us deeper into this love affair. Love doesn't react to our insecurity. It's not moved by our fear, anxiety, control, or other impurity, but it wraps us in the security that this love is enough to call us every part into being perfect maturity. Love provides not only what we need to survive, but whatever it'll take to make us come alive, soul, body, and mind. For love keeps no record of wrong. Love suffers long. It is patient and kind, very precise in its decisions. For love is not blind. It is gentle, but not passive. Love draws out the hidden treasure of the heart that makes us attractive. Love is active. Love is the emotion in your heartbeat that is keeping your mind captive. receptive, attentive to the sound of my voice, inviting you into a choice to love deeply, wholeheartedly, and completely. And it won't always be easy, but you have the ability to reflect the one who's carried you down this journey so sweetly. For because of love, you are alive. And through love, you have the authority to revive Nyack, to experience the power of the living Christ. For love gives you the godly ability to release new life. So I invite you to stand. I invite you to stand. And in celebration, with outstretched hands, make a declaration that we will be a community known for His faith, hope, and love. And the affirmation that we, all of us in this room right here, will be the generation that loves like God does, with joyful exaggeration. So sing with me in hopeful expectation of the transformation we will see as we surrender and carry God's love back to His beautifully broken creation.